This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Canada, our friend of the North, Justin Trudeau, traveling in Singapore on his way to Delhi in the G20, making a remark that I need help with. And Charles Burton of the McDonnell Laurier Institute is here from Ottawa to help me. Charles, good evening to you. The quote from the Prime Minister about China. Obviously, we've had a challenging few years, as many people had. The arbitrary detention of two Canadians for political reasons put a real chill on the relationship. But China is one of the most important economies in the world, and it's not a country that anyone can simply ignore. Charles, what does that mean? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, I think certainly Mr. Trudeau wants to give the impression that Canada is in line with the United States, Australia, the United Kingdom, and of course, Japan and South Korea with regard to being prepared to stand up to China's violations of the norms of diplomacy and trade. And he's made a statement while he's in Singapore to this effect, I think hoping that the international audience will take him seriously. There does seem to be a double kind of thing going on here. He may say something in French in Canada quite differently from what we've heard today. He did, you know, qualify this interview by saying that we need to find ways to engage constructively, ways of mutual benefit to Canada and China, ways to rebuild a positive relationship in the interests of Canadians. But we're not going to be naive about it. Well, certainly we've been concerned about whether it's naivete on his part or whether there's some degree of elite co-option of Canadian business and political class by the Chinese. That remains to be seen. But that being said, you know, I think any kind of statement from Mr. Trudeau that suggests that Canada is starting to understand that we cannot, you know, walk both sides of the street with regard to relations with China and relations with the United States is a positive thing. I hope he'll be challenged about this by the political opposition and the press once he gets home after the G20 meeting in Delhi.
The puzzle, and I've followed the reporting and you've helped me, Charles, these many months. Xi Jinping bullied the prime minister at a meeting in Asia once upon a time. I think it was ASEAN. And then we had the what we know of the investigation of the prime minister's family involving Chinese bad actors, perhaps with lots of money, something that never came to a conclusion. I'm being petty here because those are parts of the reports. I understand the prime minister wants to say to geopolitics, but also China's been personal with him, not only personally insulting, but involved his family in questions to be answered.
Yes, I mean, there is some puzzlement in Canada as to why the prime minister continues to have an approach to China that never seems to cause much distress to the Chinese ambassador in Ottawa. We have not engaged in anything serious about establishing a Foreign Agents Registry Act comparable to that in the United States. And, you know, there have been serious allegations by leaked intelligence assessments that the government has been aware of malign activities by the Chinese regime interfering with Canadian democratic processes, including the intimidation of members of the Canadian Parliament who have families in China and illegal funding to candidates that they support and disinformation and slander against candidates that they feel are not favorable to Chinese interests. And the question is, why did the government not respond to any of these intelligence assessments? And why did somebody in the security sector, whether it's the Canadian Security Intelligence Service or other security agencies, become so fed up with the lack of response to their reports sent up to the Prime Minister's office based on tapping of Chinese diplomatic facilities and telephone calls that they felt they had to release them publicly to the Canadian press? You know, these questions have not been answered, and Mr. Trudeau doesn't seem to be very prepared to allow for a serious public inquiry to find out exactly what's going on in this regard and why our government seems to be unable to get into compliance with our like-minded allies in having a serious approach to what China's trying to do in the world.
Australia now is very much in the target zone for China's embargoes. I note that they have X number of swimming pools of wine to sell because China stopped buying wine. Over the years, China has attempted to intimidate, bully Canada by not buying certain products, food products and other products. Is that continuing, Charles? Is there still Chinese selective targeting?
No, I mean, once, you know, the Kovrigan's favor matter was settled and Meng Wanzhou, the Huawei CFO, was returned to China, none of the Chinese sanctions on Canadian agricultural commodity exports, specifically canola seeds, $30 million a year export, surprisingly enough, or Quebec meat, were upheld. That being said, you know, Canada's dependence on the Chinese market is much, much less than Australia and New Zealand. Australia and New Zealand send about 30% of their external commodity exports to China. Canada's less than 4%. You know, our main market, close to 80%, is with the United States. And the kind of thing that we send to China tends to be minerals and agricultural commodities for which there is a world price, a world market. So, you know, the idea that Canada has to compromise our commitment to democracy and global security in the interests of maintaining important trading relationships and bringing about lucrative business to you know, Canadian companies who have connections with the political center in Ottawa, it doesn't really stand up. There is no reason for us not to say to China, you can engage in economic coercion against us because it won't really affect us all that much. And we will stand up for the security of the world and, you know, collaborate with our allies to try and meet the China challenge.
Fair enough for a politician to say, when the facts change, my policies change. What can we look forward to, given the Chinese intervention in the general election of 2019 and 2021, the suggestions that Chinese agents contributed to the Trudeau Foundation? Put all that behind us. What's ahead to watch for if Justin Trudeau's government is having a change of heart?
Well, you know, today, a second round of public inquiry into the foreign interference and federal electoral processes has been announced, with a judge of the Quebec Superior Court undertaking it. But looking at the terms of reference of that inquiry, it doesn't look like it's going to be substantively different from the failed and discredited report that we got from a figure that Mr. Trudeau identified as a special rapporteur who didn't have subpoena power or the ability to compel officials to testify under oath. So I think if we see increasing Chinese harassment of Canadians that, you know, may well be exposed by security agencies who are fed up with their futile attempts to get the government to take this sort of thing seriously. If we see
we have
more and more
seconds,
Canadian officials
30 seconds
getting
out.
Senior posts in China-related law firms and boards, then we'll know that nothing has happened and Canada is really not being straight with the United States about our response to China.
Charles Burton of the Macdonald Laurier Institute is here to help me interpret the remarks of the Prime Minister traveling overseas on his way to the G20. That appears to me, an outsider, to look like Justin Trudeau is recognizing the threat represented by the Chinese Communist Party. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.